All right, so I'm looking at my new TV that I bought, my replacement TV. Let's hope that things start changing for me, and hopefully this replacement TV will last for more than a couple months. But anyway, I just saw the word of the year from Merriam-Webster's dictionary is authentic. I guess they pick a word of the year or something. Last year's was gaslighting. And I always try to be authentic, or at least I pretend to be. And I guess maybe they're being ironic about the word, because it just seems like these days everything is inauthentic. You've got, you know, virtual reality and artificial intelligence and reality shows that are fake and the Kardashians, and everything is just phony baloney. So anyway, let's talk today about some real stuff. Some things bothering me, some movies, and whatever else comes to mind.
You are my density. You are my density.
Okay, on the subject of getting real, let me tell you, Sunnyvale sucks. Northern California in general is kind of boring. Palo Alto also sucks. It's just the most expensive houses in the world. It's super sterile. There's like not much culture going on. It's boring. The people are kind of boring. There's just nothing exciting going on up here. I mean, LA is just so weird. I love it. You might run into, you know, Tom Selleck or some shit. And here, what are you going to run into? Some Google technician or, you know, what, Mark Zuckerberg, possibly, which is a nightmare. This place has so much money. LA does too. And don't get me wrong, there's a ton of money down there. But it's just there's also interesting things to go to. There's interesting places. There's, you know, weird shit. There's real shit. There's museums. There's, you know, it's just a fun place. And one thing that drives me nuts up here is people drive like shit. They drive so slow. And the lights are timed. Like if you miss a light, you might be there for 5 minutes. I mean, it's nuts. You have to come up here just to experience it. And yes, people drive like shit in LA, but at least they drive fast. All of you are driving like shit. You're all driving fast. You're all in it together, rich, poor. You're flipping each other off. I mean, it's like the road warrior down there. But at least you get to your location. And I think everyone just like, LA is just, it can be a piece of shit. But everyone just kind of accepts it and are like, yes, this is weird and crazy, but there's some amazing moments every once in a while. And yeah, speaking of Mark Zuckerberg, I don't have Facebook or any of this crap. I think Facebook's like one of the worst things that happened to us in the last, whatever it is, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the hell. Yeah, it's just in trying to make us all connected and stuff. I think it's made us more disconnected. We have no attention spans and just, you know, you can flake on someone in a moment's notice with a text. You know, it's like before cell phones, you know, you'd be like, hey, I'll meet you at the movie in 3 days. And you'd meet him or you'd meet her. You couldn't flake. I mean, yeah, you could maybe call them and leave a message on the answering machine, but they might not get the message. It's like, you know, you had to like, there was much more credibility or reliability with people. Now, yeah, forget about it. And a couple of quick news flashes from this week. I guess some guy got naked at the Disneyland ride. It's a small, small world, which if you're going to pick a ride to get naked at in Disneyland, would you pick that one? I mean, I don't know if he was like well hung or not, but it's just it, you know, the title of the ride and like taking your pants off in a small world. That's, I don't know. That's a misfire for me. There was a famous streaker incident at the Oscars in 1974. This guy kind of ran behind David Niven and I think gave a peace sign. David Niven quipped, you know, probably the only laugh that man will ever get is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings, which is funny. But the guy actually, his name was Robert Opel, supposedly like a super interesting dude. Kind of an artist and just kind of counterculture and opened up a gallery in San Francisco. And he was actually shot and killed by some burglars, but sounded like a great guy. Super, you know, interesting. Kind of had a John Waters connection somehow. But yeah, anyway, well, rest in peace, buddy. And I forgot to mention a ridiculous musical related moment with me and Blonde Redhead when I played soccer with them once in New York at Battery Park. And whenever I think of Battery and New York, I think of the song New York, New York, which is in the movie On the Town with Gene Kelly. And the music is actually by Leonard Bernstein, which he's played by Bradley Cooper in the new movie Maestro. But anyway, it's a great lyric, you know. New York, New York, it's a wonderful town. The Bronx is up and the Battery's down. And another New York song that I just love from the movie New York, New York, 1977 by Martin Scorsese. It's kind of a musical, kind of a failure with Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli, but it's You Brought a New Kind of Love to Me. It's a great song. If the nightingale could sing like you, they'd sing much sweeter than they do, for you brought a new kind of love to me. And back to soccer. So I was like smoking at the time and I was on vacation, so I was probably drunk. And we all went down to, me and Blonde Redhead went down to Battery Park to play some soccer. It was like muddy. I think it had been raining. And they were like incredible. I mean, they were like Euro and like just elegant, almost like horses, just like, you know, moving and passing the ball and just moving so regally. And I don't even know if I think I maybe kicked the ball once, but every time I tried to move, I would fall. And I kept falling on my ass in the mud. I think I had the wrong shoes on. And just, I don't know, every time I tried to kick it, I would literally fall on my ass. And eventually I just was like, okay, I can't. This humiliation must stop. I was never really too successful at sports. Back in my youth, I was like the worst baseball player ever. I was so scared of getting hit by the ball that I was petrified. I would almost just like swing at anything just to get three strikes and get out. I wasn't bad on defense though, but I was, you know, kind of a wimp as a kid. And I wasn't a great soccer player either, to be honest. I remember there was this kid in elementary school that kind of bullied me. His name was Dennis. He'd got like attacked by a dog once. His face was kind of scarred up and he just kind of had a scary vibe. But I just remember I was playing against him on a team and we were like, he was running to the goal with the ball and he was like, you know, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't let me by or something. And I let him get by and he scored. And I kind of always forever regretted that moment. I was not very confident as a kid. And I think this guy, he liked the girl that I was kind of going out with at the time in elementary school. And by going out, I mean like nothing. We were like boyfriend and girlfriend, but like, that meant like every 2 weeks, like people would crowd up and I would like kiss her on the cheek and they would clap. That was the extent of our relationship. So I'd like to go back to that era and, you know, just, I don't know, handle things a little differently. And in talking about growing older and aging, it's like I have been like a supplement addict for God, 20 years. It's a problem. I mean, I spend a ton of money on it, but, you know, I guess there could be worse addictions. I've had worse addictions in the past, and it's like this one is just basically hurting my pocketbook, probably. I mean, my blood work is all fine and all that stuff. I take a lot of, like, brain stuff and stuff for testosterone or herbs, and I get into some weird shit. I bought, like, literally blood capsules, like ground up blood from a fucking cow or something, and recently I bought literally ground up ants. I read like that was good for energy and I'll try anything once. I'm like, fuck it. So yeah, I have a bottle of ground up ants. I don't know. I take so many things. I don't even know what helps, what hurts, but, we all have our vices, I suppose. And a great foreign movie on aging and kind of the aging male is Another Round. It's from 2020, directed by Thomas Vinterberg, who famously was part of that like Dogma 95 Lars von Trier movement, which was kind of like, you know, there was all these rules. You had to shoot on location and had to be handheld. There was no, you know, camera tricks. This one isn't Dogma, but the movie's great. It's with one of my heroes, Mads Mikkelsen, who's just like, you know, he can be imposing, he can be tough, and he can be so sensitive and like heartbreaking at times. And at the beginning, he's getting together with all of his buddies and they're drinking and he's not drinking. And then, you know, he decides to have a drink and he just starts kind of tearing up. And one of his friends is like, you know, what's going on? And he's just, you know, kind of barely getting it out. But he's just like, you know, I'm, you know, not much. I don't do much. I don't see many people. And I don't know how I ended up like this. And it's just heart-wrenching. Like, you know, as you get older, there's regrets and stuff. But just everything is played out on his face, like, so perfectly. It's a great movie. And the ending is just nuts. It's like one of the friends has died. And so they kind of get together for this little funeral. And I guess Mads Mikkelsen used to be a dancer in real life. And so he has a couple drinks. And he just does this dance at the end where he's flipping around and jumping up and down. And I mean, I probably watched that ending 50 times. It's incredible. But the song that he dances to is so fun. It's called What a Life, and it's by this band Scarlet Pleasure. But the lyrics are like, what a life, what a life, what a beautiful, beautiful ride. Don't know where I'm in five, but I'm young and alive. Fuck what they are saying, what a life. But you got to see it just to see his dancing. Oh my God, it's exhilarating. Another great Mads Mikkelsen movie from 2020 is Riders of Justice, directed by Anders Thomas Jensen. It's just totally like a great revenge movie. It's total badass. Mads Mikkelsen plays an ex-soldier who I think comes back from Afghanistan, and his like wife is like gets killed in some accident, or maybe not an accident. There's some criminal gang involved, and he just like hunts them down with some friends and like beats the shit out of them and kills them. And it's like, oh my God, it's so satisfying. Anyway, going back to another round, it's kind of about drinking, and they're like if they drink like a small amount of alcohol throughout the day, maybe they'll be more like creative and they'll bring more like spice to their life. Turns into kind of a problem when some people are drinking too much, but it's an interesting theory. And I kind of got into a drinking kick back when I was about 20, and I was like obsessed with The Doors, and I also had just seen Wild at Heart in 1990 by David Lynch, and Nicolas Cage famously smokes like Marlboro Reds in that movie. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start drinking and smoking. And so I started smoking. Of course, the first cigarette tastes like garbage, made me feel like shit. But I was like, okay, let's keep doing it. And I would have people buy me beer because I wasn't 21 yet. And so, I don't know, for about a 60-day period in my parents' house, I was on the top floor of this townhouse. And from about, 7 p.m. to midnight, I would drink probably 6 to 12 beers and smoke a pack of cigarettes, listen to The Doors, and just being an idiot. Somehow I got away with it without my parents knowing, or I don't think they knew. I had this, this method of like cracking the window open slightly and blowing out the side, and it just perfectly went out. And I did kind of start getting the shakes a little bit after about a month, where I kind of did need the alcohol in a way. But I was able to stop it, thank God. And totally just shows you how stupid you can be as a kid, But one of the songs I loved at the time was A Feast of Friends by The Doors. It's corny as shit. It's actually the music is totally beautiful. It's by Al Biannoni, the Adagio in G minor. But the poem is kind of, goofy by Jim Morrison, and I've always kind of, I love kind of making fun of it, but he's like, I want roses in my garden bower, dig. Royal babies, rubies, must now replace aborted strangers in the mud. These mutants, blood meal for the plant that's plowed. So anyway, every once in a while with like certain friends, I'll just be like, I want roses in my garden bower, dig. And speaking of tobacco, like in high school, like chewing tobacco was pretty rampant in Northern California. And I tried Copenhagen like one time. I actually went golfing with a few friends and, swallowed a little bit of, I think the spit, and just worst sickness ever. If you just want to experience the absolute worst, that feel like a complete piece of shit, chew some tobacco, some strong tobacco, and swallow some of the spit. And it's awful. You just feel terrible. I think after about three holes, I was like puking at each hole, and I fucking stopped. And then I briefly had a chewing tobacco period too. Like right after I graduated high school, I went to UC Santa Barbara, and I just was not ready for college. I freaked out. There was a roommate, but he actually was never there. He was staying somewhere else. So it was just me. And I was so not confident and just so nervous. And like, I literally went to the commissary one time, and that was it. The whole rest of the little quarter, I was there for 3 months and then left. I finished the quarter, but I was eating one sandwich a day at some fucking deli in Isla Vista. I was just chewing tobacco, spitting in tennis ball cans. And I remember my grandma, the same one that, dry heaved in Day of the Dead, she would send me like care packages, and she would send me Red Man Plug that I'd asked for, this chewing tobacco, and then like some kind of a bunch of zit stuff. I was 18 at college, and like I started getting zits kind of late. So I was just a mess. I mean, I looked like shit, and it was a rough time. And then one time there was actually a party going on like outside in the hallway. I was in the dorm, and I just couldn't go outside. I was like, I can't go out. I can't go out there. And I took a piss in a Coke can, which was, this was a low point, man. But I was just not ready for school. And I went to see one movie while I was there. I think it was in Isla Vista, and the movie was In Country with Emily Lloyd and Bruce Willis, kind of a Vietnam kind of era thing, totally lost under the radar. It was an okay movie, but I'll never forget that movie because I remember I was riding my bicycle there, and I kind of looked over, and some guys were in a car, and they were like pointing at me and laughing, and it was just like, God damn. This sucks. And then a final little embarrassing detail. I remember, like, I don't know, 2 months into the quarter, there was like a, you know, a month left. And a couple of guys that lived on, you know, in the dormitory, they knocked on my door. And I opened it and they were like, hey, man, hey, we just wanted to see if someone lived here. And I was like, yeah, no, I live here. Yeah. So, I mean, and they were cool. I mean, they didn't like make fun of me or something. It was just, you know, I was a mutant. And I kind of smoked on and off for, you know, years here and there. I finally stopped in like early 2000s. I moved to Chicago to work as an editor for like 10 months. And you basically, at that point, you like, it was required to kind of smoke in Chicago, just the way it was. Totally fun town, amazing bars, amazing restaurants. But you just, it was smoking. I think I was smoking at the gym, like on the treadmill. No, not really, but everybody smoked. But yeah, I finally stopped that crap. And pretty much had no kind of nicotine involvement until I went to nursing school maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And I was like, I read like, oh, nicotine can give you a lift, give you some energy. So I was like, okay, cool. So I started like chewing the gum and, you know, started chewing more of the gum and eventually got to where I was, you know, chewing a pack of the gum a day. And I've been doing that ever since. And it's expensive and I'm trying to quit, but, you know, you can only tackle so many things at one time. And right now I'm like, I'm not dealing with that shit. I'm, you know, focused on, you know, getting the hell out of Sunnyvale at some point soon. But speaking of nicotine gum, there's this band, Proto Martyr. They're totally cool. They're relatively new, maybe 5 or 6 years old, maybe more, I'm not sure. But they have a song called Polacrylex Kid. And Polacrylex is what you see, like if you ever see nicotine gum, it's like nicotine Polacrylex. And it's just like nicotine bound to an ion exchange resin. I looked that up, of course. I'm not very smart. But it's from the album Formal Growth in the Desert from 2023. It's totally cool. Me and Buckley actually saw this band at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery not too long ago. But the opening lyrics are pretty cool. It's like, I'm back. No more smoke. Just gum in my jaws. Or smoke when I'm raw or alone. Neither tar. But the first song I heard of theirs was A Private Understanding from 2017's album Relatives in Descent. It's about Elvis, kind of like, there was this story, I guess, supposedly true. He was driving like his camper van somewhere and he was looking up at the clouds and he saw something in the clouds and then it changed. And I don't know if he was high at the time or just, this was, I think, near the end. So he probably wasn't in great shape. But yeah, supposedly it took place in Arizona. But the lyrics are really cool. It's like, Elvis outside of Flagstaff, driving a camper van, looking for meaning in a cloud mass, sees the face of Joseph Stalin and is disheartened. Then the wind changed, the cloud into his smiling lord, and he was affected profoundly, but he could never describe the feeling. He passed away on the bathroom floor. And speaking of tobacco, really quickly, I was like visiting my mom and dad back in Northern California, and I met up with some high school friends, and we were at a bar, and we were drinking, and then, you know, there was a bunch of beer bottles sitting around, and I picked one up and started to drink it and swallowed. My brain would, like, stop me from swallowing the beer, but it wasn't beer. It was somebody's, like, chew spit bottle. Still one of the grossest, if I go back there, I can almost start dry heaving. I surprisingly didn't get sick, but just, I know the person it was, whose it was, and it was just like, oh my God, I drank his spit with cheer. And really quickly, just to throw in a couple of completely or partially under the radar Los Angeles movies that I completely love. There's this one from 1988 called From Hollywood to Deadwood. I ran across somehow not too long ago. It's about these two kind of loserish detectives who, like, they're living outside LA and then they have to go back to LA to find some like missing starlet. And it's just well written. The two leads are amazing. It's a fun movie. It's, if you like movies, it's just great. There's so many great LA scenes in it. It's got Scott Paulin and Jim Haney is just incredible as the other detective. He's like kind of like the funnier guy of the two. And I think it's on Amazon streaming for free. So yes, please watch that. From Hollywood to Deadwood, directed by Rex Pickett. And then another totally fantastic movie from 1977 is called The Late Show. It's kind of a noir, neo-noir, directed by Robert Benton, but starring Art Carney and Lily Tomlin. And he's kind of, down on his luck, over-the-hell detective, and she hires him to, try and find her cat. And then they team up. But, I mean, God, it will blow you away. It's, it's pretty slow-paced, but it's just the L.A. locations, the L.A. scenes. It's just so expertly acted and directed. I'm not a big Lily Tomlin fan normally, but she's great in it. And, I mean, it's a great movie. Please. It's rentable. And, give it a shot. The Late Show. And I'm going to end on a little L.A. memory. And mark my words, I will be back in Los Angeles by mid-2024, by hook or by crook. There's this great closed, of course, now everything great is closed, Irish bar on Santa Monica Boulevard called the Irish Rover. Totally fun place. I used to go down there, and me and my buddy Andy would go drink and play pool, and everyone was so cool. And the bartender, he'd always be like, "Cheers, boys." And we'd drink Guinness, or we'd get Black and Tans, which is Guinness and Harp ale. And actually, Ed O'Neill, famously Al Bundy from Married with Children, he would come in sometimes after shooting. He'd be wearing his Al Bundy getup, and seemed like a totally cool guy. Everyone loved him, and he seemed like an awesome dude. Yeah, there was a bartender there. His name was Spud, and he would always pronounce my name instead of Mark. He would be like, "Muff. Hello, Muff." And for some reason, he would always be like, "Muff, you're an assassin wearing a cat suit." And I was like, "What the hell?" And then there was this guy, Pete, who just, he was an older guy, and just, he would drink all day long, but still one of those guys who could drink and drink, but, was still funny as hell and had a positive outlook and stuff. After a certain amount of drinks, I get pretty sullen or just tired or kind of cranky. But there's some dudes who can just keep on drinking and keep the party alive. I'm sure he's gone. Pete has to be gone at this point. But rest in peace, Pete. And one of the unforgettable little phrases that I've never forgotten was written in the bathroom of the Irish Rover. You may have heard this saying, but anyway, it's a great one. It's better to be a good liver than to have one. And probably one of the greatest quotes ever on drinking, and just, it's so goddamn clever. Supposedly it's by the painter Francis Bacon, who was famously, loved to drink. And there was a great movie about him. Anyway, we'll talk about him at some point. But it's, "Champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends."